Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Davari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Draft day, baby. Draft day has come and gone. The Chicago Bears have, seven new players from the NFL draft. We're going to discuss it. It's a lot of talk about what the Bears did and what the Bears didn't do. We got your therapy. We're going to help you walk through it. And we're going to walk through it ourselves and jump into it. It's been a minute, but we back in it.
We back, man.
Yeah, man.
It's been a minute.
It's been a long time coming, man. Of course, you know, like I said, we got personal lives going on and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? So, while the Bears was making their miraculous playoff run towards the playoffs and in the playoffs, a lot of things have happened between now and then. So, you know, definitely looking forward to seeing what's going on and what's not on the ins and outs and keeping it going, you know?
For sure, man. It's good to be back. I want to say that first and foremost. It's good to be back. I know you guys have been waiting on us and, you know, we back, man, and we with the ether, right? We got the ether playing.
Yes, sir. Got the ether going.
Yeah, so let's get it.
Yes, sir. So, man, the way we ended the season, the Chicago Bears defied all expectations, right? We already know how that went. We almost made it to the NFC Championship, that throw. And Caleb Williams to Cole Kmet in the back of the end zone. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, the game's over. You know, my son was like, oh, it's over. He's throwing a pick. You know, he's throwing out of bounds.
Touchdown.
You know, right. I thought we were going to win that game. I thought they were destined, you know, yeah. Especially when we get the ball back. But, you know, that was that whole issue. People were talking about DJ Moore cut off his route to Caleb Williams. Hey, man, I think it like this sometimes. It's football, bro. Shit happens, man.
Yeah.
You know, shit happens. It's, you know, in any sport, you know, you think it ain't going to do this, you know, whatever. I got my own philosophy, but that season, as Ben said, that season's over. And we on to the new season. And Ben ain't sitting there like, you know, we were talking about this off-site, like the 2018 Bears, they're not going to have a parade.
No.
But not winning the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
That's a fact.
You know, that's something that I definitely wanted to get into, man, because, you know what I mean, it's a whole different vibe this time around, right? And I've been talking to people about that a little bit lately, and it's like, you know, we look at the situation in 2018, everybody was drinking the Kool-Aid, you know what I mean? And I remember, you know, I was being optimistic, but deep down in my heart, I was like, man, I don't know if we can do, you know, are we going to be able to run this thing back in 2019 and beyond? Are we going to be able to sustain the little bit of positivity that we had? This is a whole different feel, though. You know what I mean? You're dealing with a coach that, you know, we trust, we understand that, you know, we see the vision. I think the GM, from top to bottom, the organization is better. From Kevin Warren to Ryan Poles to, you know what I mean, Ben Johnson, to the quarterback, to, you know, just top to bottom, the organization, you see it's a 360, you know, it's just a complete 180. So, you know, you look at that situation, it's like, man, we can really stack on this, right, and build on it. That's what you want to say. Mm-hmm. But Ben Johnson, you know, he's coming to the table and he's saying, nah, last year is last year. We're done with that. You know what I mean? We're starting all the way over.
That's a fact.
And it's like, he's not saying that you're starting over in terms of building a team or anything like that, but he's saying we're starting over. The mindset starts over.
Yes, absolutely.
So while a lot of people was cool, and that lets you be complacent when you feel like, okay, we're only this piece away. We're only a kicker away. Like, that's what everybody thought, right, back then. Now, Ben Johnson's saying, nah, we need to strip it all away. and rebuild that whole mindset to stay hungry, to stay active. And I think that's going to go a long way to letting this team be better and have sustained success for many years to come.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. And, you know, just from the standpoint of what happened and how everything played out last year, you know, or last season, it's something to build on, you know, again, like, and it's definitely something to build on. You know, you had a lot of success. We had some roadblocks, as we could say, this past off season, what went on, you know, we lost one of our offensive linemen just decided to up and retire.
Yeah. Dalman.
Yeah. Drew Dalman. You know what I'm saying? So he decided to up and retire just out the middle of nowhere. And then of course, you know, I mean, hell, show don't stop. You know what I'm saying? As they say, one monkey don't stop, no show. And you keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? And you keep it going. So, and one thing I really loved, again, is what Ben Johnson had stated beforehand. Ben Johnson had told everybody, like, hey, you know, that was last year. We off of last year. We on to bigger and better things. So that's what I'm excited to see, especially with our Bears and everything else. You know, that's one of the things that was key to me. You know, especially moving in, or I would say moving or transitioning or moving and shaking into what is going on with the Bears. You know, so it's exciting, man. I'm definitely excited. So, you know, I'm definitely excited to see what goes on, what transpires, and what plans out. You know what I'm saying? It moves forward. So we had the draft, you know, and that's what we're going to get into today. We had the draft, you know what I'm saying, future prospects and future outlooks on how, you know, we expect this thing to go, and we about to get into it.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, the Bears had the draft. I mean, look, we were just talking about it. Looking back, that's a lot to like about the draft. You know, we're going to get into what people got issues with. The biggest issue that I've seen and heard and just listened to, like, YouTube is the Bears didn't go hard on the defensive line.
Oh, yeah. I posted a little thing on Twitter about that, but I'll let you go ahead and continue.
Yeah, so that's been the thing. But right now, I think the first part, let's get into what the Bears got that we like.
Yes.
Right? So Thielemann failed to the Bears. Nobody thought he was going to be there. Everybody thought, like, the Vikings were going to get him. We could start off with him. Mm-hmm. Right, I thought maybe McNeil Warren or Zion Young were going to fall. They did fall to the Bears, mm-hmm. or Kendrick fall. But Thielemann is a better player than all three of those guys I just named.
Yes.
So him falling to the Bears was a shocker. And so I knew when he was on the board, I was like, they're getting Thielemann, bro. And I think I text you, Ned. You text me about Thielemann. I said, he's like Cooper DeJean.
Yes.
That's what he reminds me of. Yes. Like a like more athletic Cooper. And so I'm like, I like that pick, man. So I like it. I think the Bears wanted to get faster on defense. That dude ran a 4.35. So we love Kevin Byard. Sometimes it's better to let a player go a year early than a year late.
Right.
You dealing with Ben Johnson, this is what he does. He's like, he ain't going to be able to do this. Maybe another year he might be able to do it. Maybe in New England he going to have a good year. Bear fans going to be like, oh, my God, we let Kevin Byard go. Then he going to fall off. It's going to happen, right? Because he's in his mid-30s. Father time is undefeated. Mm-hmm. So I like the pick. I like Kobe Bryant. I like the athletic. They like to come up and hit. You know, they're interchangeable. It's not a free safety and a strong safety. You just got two safeties. You know, they can both play in the box. They can both play high. I like the pick. I think it's a home run. I think he's going to be a Bear for the next 10 years. How y'all feeling about that pick?
Go ahead, Dan. I'll let you take it.
Man, I think it's a great pick. I really do. I was excited to see it happen. I wanted to, you know, I spoke up and I talked about Zakee Wheatley because I didn't think the Bears were going to go. I didn't think he was going to be available at that point in time, 25th or 26th pick, whatever it was. I didn't think he was going to be available. So I thought there were going to be two safeties off the board by that time. And he was one of the top two safeties. So I thought he would be gone, and I thought that they would be able to get Zakee Wheatley third, fourth round, fifth round, I think it was, or whatever the case may be. And, fourth or fifth round. And I was like, we can push that off until then, and I thought they were going to go a different direction. I thought they might even trade down and look to take advantage of somebody that wanted to slide back into the first round, because a lot of teams want to slide back into the first round to get that fifth-year option on the player. Mm-hmm. But then when you have a dude, this guy is sitting there, and we understand, like Bears fans, and I ask y'all, and I'm telling y'all right now, the value of safeties has gone down. It's like running backs. It's like, you know what I mean? These are positional players that are very important on the football field, safety, linebacker, running back, but their value has gone down as far as paying them money because they're injury prone. They're, you know what I mean? There's so many different variables that are associated with these guys. So they don't put that much money into them. That's why you don't see guys getting re-signed. That's why we was able to get Kobe Bryant. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because they didn't want to pay him, even though he's a talented player, he's a good player. They didn't want to pay him because, you know, it's just, that's the way this game is going nowadays. So we had the opportunity, we snatched him up. Here we have a situation where now you have this guy fall to you at that spot, and it's like, okay, you know what I mean? You grab him, you got the fifth-year option. You know what I mean? We might not sign him back, but we got him for 5 years, at least for 5 years. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So the first 5 years of his career, which is probably going to be his most productive from the safety spot. You know what I mean? Especially being how fast he is and things like that and so on and so forth. So I think it was a really good pick. I'm happy with the pick. I think he's going to work well with Kobe Bryant in that. And you look at the Bears secondary now, the back end of it, that last line of defense, they are fast now. They're mm-hmm. athletic. They're fast. They're young. And while I did love Jaquan Brisker, he was injury prone. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that they should sign him back. Mm-hmm. You know, I did love Kevin Byard, and I loved what he did last year, the year before, but he's 34 years old. Mm-hmm. He's not going to replicate. He's not going to duplicate the season that he had last year. That was probably one of his best seasons as a pro. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get better than that. You know what I mean? But, you know, a guy like Kobe Bryant, and then, of course, this guy, Thieneman, these guys have untapped potential. So, you know, they're so young, athletic, faster. There's so many more things that Dennis Allen will be able to do with them on the football field. They can be interchangeable, which is, you know, that's great right there. You can drop somebody down into the box sometimes, bring them down. You know what I mean? It's so much that you can do with them. I think this is just a really good pick. I think the Bears upgraded their secondary in a major way, and I'm happy with it, man.
At first, I'll be the first one to say this and just be honest, right? I wasn't too high on them. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't too high on the pick because I was worried, man, due to the fact, again, you know, a college standout safety, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know, they say that's an athletic freak, runs a 4.3 40. You know, all the measurables are popping off the screen. You know what I'm saying? Really, it was interchangeable between him and Caleb Downs, who was the better safety coming out, you know what I'm saying, in college football. And, you know, consensus, these were the top two safeties in the game. And I'm shocked he got past Minnesota, to be totally honest, because that's who they had him dubbed to go either there or to Green Bay. And neither one of them took him up. You know, I don't know whether what happened on their boards. I don't know, you know, what became available to them on their boards. But again, the football gods smiled down on the Chicago Bears. But initially, I looked at it, and when I was seeing him get picked, I said, oh, God, not another Chris Conte.
The curse of the white safety.
Yes, man. What? Yeah, you know, I was like, oh, God. Yeah, not another Chris Conte, man. So, you know, I got to that point, and I'm like, oh, my God, okay. Well, you know, and that's when I had that talk with Roy. You know what I'm saying? Roy, that's when I had that talk with you, and you was like, man, think Cooper DeJean. You know, not Chris Conte. And then I'm like, damn, really? I'm like, okay. Well, I did, you know, even though Oregon is in the Big Ten, you know what I'm saying? I dug deeper, and then, okay, he played at Purdue too, started as a true freshman. You know, and then in Purdue, you know, basically they played him more as a range. So the thing is what Dennis Allen wants to do with him. And with Kobe Bryant, right, is the fact that no matter what safety is in, no matter, you know what I'm saying, they don't want offenses to be able to dictate or to tell who is the box safety, who's the high safety, who's the cover safety from the line of scrimmage.
And we knew that with Jaquan and
exactly.
Kevin.
Exactly. It was very predictable, right? And what the Bears are trying to do is by having these two free range safeties, both of them, you know, super freakish athletic. Both of them has next man speed. Again, like I said, Kobe Bryant is coming off of a Super Bowl championship. And then of course you have Dylan Thinneman, and he's coming in, and he's a rangy safety that can cover, which is one of his strengths, but also one of his strengths is to be able to play in the box and shoot the gap and get the back in the backfield because of that 4-3 speed. So I said, okay, I looked at it, and I said, okay, well, what is his strengths, right? And again, his strengths is zone coverage. His strengths is breaking on the football. He's a ball hawk. And, you know, another one of his strengths is also being able to shoot the gaps, you know, when he's in that eight or when he's in that eight man box, you know, coming down, crashing down towards the offensive line, getting into the backfield, whether it be getting the quarterback or whether it be getting the running back. He's hella good at that. You know what I'm saying? Really, really freakishly good. So I said, OK, well, what is his weaknesses? OK, well, his weaknesses are something that can be coached. You know, and like I said, coaching is going to be really
Al Harris.
Exactly. And that's where we go. You know, coaching is going to be a huge thing with this young man because, again, he struggles in man-to-man coverage, which, again, Al Harris can definitely get him back on point with that. And then, of course, a lot of the times while he was playing in the Big Ten, him coming down and getting that initial thump and taking down, whether it be a bigger back or a bigger receiver, or a tight end, whatever, what have not, right? He doesn't get them to the ground. And I believe that comes along with him getting more weight in his ass, as, you know, the coaches would like
to
say.
Yeah, he's
exactly.
That bigger guy.
You know, you need to get more weight in his ass. So, you know, he'll get in the weight room, he'll get bigger, he'll get stronger, he'll get faster, and, you know, and he'll become a more rangy all-purpose type safety. Again, with good coaching, coaching is going to matter with him tremendously because, again, that's going to separate him from all the others. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to separate him from the pack pretty much. Now, if you look at Caleb Downs that Dallas had picked up, he's a smaller safety, right? He's a small guy. Motherfucker can play. He can play. He can flat out play. He's a dog, right? But with Dylan Thinneman, he has good size. He has good size to him. You know what I'm saying? Again, he's not that big. But again, he's about, what, six? He's about six.
6 feet, yeah. 205. He's only 21, so he. Yeah,
exactly. He has a lot of room to grow.
Yeah, your body don't grow until you hit 25. Right?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So he has a lot of good things going for him. He has a lot of strengths that's going in his favor. I'm definitely excited to see what he can develop into this camp, this rookie mini camp, and then going from rookie mini camp to, organized OTAs, and then OTAs into actual training camp. My focus is going to be to see how he grows and how he how his maturation goes. You know what I'm saying? And then into preseason. Of course, I know he's not going to play that much, but to see what he can become, what his range will be, and how he will affect the game. Because, again, you draft who you draft. And this was a top-tier, what we call impact maker, blue-chip player that fell to the Chicago Bears at pick number 25. Again, sometimes you just get blessed. Sometimes you get blessed. And we got blessed. So I'll take it. I'll definitely take it. And now looking back at the pick, As Roy hinted to a little earlier, looking back at the pick, you know, as where people were losing their shit about the edge not being of priority. Again, like I said, I sent out a tweet on that, and we'll touch up on it about that edge position and where and what it correlates to in the NFL. You'll be shocked. But however, I'm excited about the Thinneman pick, and I'm excited about where the direction of that defense is heading because, again, we may have the best defensive backfield in the NFL.
Yeah, they,
and that's what a lot of people don't understand. We may have the best defensive backfield in the NFL.
Talented and young.
This season.
And deep.
Absolutely.
I mean, who's the elder statement? The elder statement is Jalen Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's not that old. You know what I'm saying?
Jalen and Kobe, and they both like mid 20s, 26. Yeah,
exactly.
So.
And just to put it in perspective, real quick, to put it in perspective, like you talk about, you know, the size of these guys, and Dylan Thienemann, he's 6'2", 205. Mm-hmm. Think about Kevin Byard. We never talked about his size, right? He's 5'11", 216. Mm. So you're talking about 1 inch taller than Kevin Byard, about 11 pounds smaller, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in the NFL, I guarantee you he gains 5 to 7 pounds immediately. They're going to get him in the OTAs, and they're going to be like, hey, this is what we want you to do by the time you come back. You know, they'll get in there, they'll have what a week, 2 weeks or whatever it is, and they'll give them goals to reach, and they'll say, hey, gain 10 pounds, gain 8 pounds, whatever, right? He puts on 8 pounds, and now all of a sudden he's you know, he's 213, and it's like, oh, man, you know what I mean? That's a monster at that point, you know what I mean? From the safety position. So, you know, that's what I'm looking at, you know, with that. I think he'll easily put on a little bit of weight in a couple of months, you know what I mean, before the training camp begins and opens up.
Yeah. I want to touch on something quick, too, like, and it's probably going to be a thing, right, with the edge rushers. Like, I remember that draft, right? So I'm sitting there. There's a couple of guys who I thought would be good, and this is my philosophy with the edge. Everybody knows I'm an Austin Booker fan, right? Mm-hmm. I think me and Dan discussed this. If Austin Booker didn't get hurt in that stupid preseason game, he would have had 10 sacks. He got 4.5 sacks in 6 games, right? And he got 2 taken away. Mm-hmm. Yep. I seen this guy stiff arm Christian Darrisaw into, like, you know, I've seen him all pro tackles. He knocked dudes on the ass. He can play. If you draft that edge in round 1, he better be better than Austin Booker. If not, he's going to basically be a rotational guy. And that draft, I remember, I thought two guys – I didn't put it on Twitter because I ain't been on Twitter. I take a hiatus, right? Akeem Messidor, he got drafted, what, like 22nd? I was like, okay. I think he can start over Austin Booker right away. And another guy called Malachi Lawrence, who's another guy that can play. They went before the Bears pick. When the Bears went on the board, the edge rushers that fit Dennis Allen's system, because you can't pick a 6'1 guy that weighs 240 to play edge in the system, Zion Young – and Keldrick Fall, they fit a system. Let me tell you something about those players. They're edge defenders. They aren't pass rushers. Those dudes, go look up their stats in college. They didn't get a lot of sacks in college. They are big. They think of them like a younger Dayo Odenbo, if you will. That's kind of what their profile. They can stop the run. They'll get you 4 or 5 sacks, but they're not going to get you 10, 15 sacks. So from my perspective, when you pick Dylan Thienemann, he's a better player, a better football player than those guys. I think those guys are solid, but you can't pass up a potential superstar for a guy that's probably going to be a role player. That's when you go back and look at the draft, and you say, damn, why they picked that guy and not that guy? It's because you draft him for need and not just, hey, this is the best player, and we're going to pick him. When you start, go back 5 years ago and look at a draft and be like, damn, they passed on that guy? And,
right.
Because they drafted for need. So I get that part. So I just wanted to say that. So the next player we picked, because, you know, DeVore just touched on it, our center just decided that he didn't want to play football no more.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
So we drafted Logan Jones. We all know that those Iowa offensive linemen
are the real deal.
Are the real deal. The last, the guy that played center in Iowa before him, Lindenbaum, who just broke the record. And he started day one after replacing Lindenbaum. I like this kid. I think he's a good player. He's a typical Iowa offensive lineman, dude. He's athletic. The dude squat like 700 pounds. He's smart. He's athletic. Ben Johnson love him. I think Gab Bradbury, day's a number. He may start the season at center. He may play a couple games, and he's going to lose his job. He's going to lose his job sooner rather than later. Yeah. I like this pick. It was a need. It was in a need that I felt like we should have needed, and we could have went somewhere else if Drew didn't decide to quit football. But I like the pick. I think he's solid. I think he might be a day one starter and going to start at center for the next seven years for the Chicago Bears. Man, I like this pick.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah.
I like the pick too. You know what I mean? I'm excited about that pick as well. You know, the thing that Ryan Poles did, and you got to give him credit for this, right? at the end of the day, when they went to the drawing board and the things that he did in free agency leading up to the draft, a couple of the players that he cut, moved on from, he pivoted, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Bradbury wasn't the ideal situation. It's not like, you know, he's a stud or anything like that that we're looking at. But he made it where we weren't in dire need, right? We weren't in dire circumstances when it came to any position, in my opinion, on the football field. Yeah. So that opens you up to when the draft comes, you can draft best available player that's there. You know what I mean? You don't have to go into the draft saying, we need. They got Dredrick Wills. They got Bradbury. They got Kobe Bryant. So they were addressing needs, and it wasn't pigeonholing them into, I have to have this player. We have to come away from the draft with this guy, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that was – you got to give him credit for doing that. And he really didn't, you know, hamstring himself in any way, shape, or form in any position on the football field. The Bears were able to really go through and draft best available player. And you see, mm-hmm. I think they did that in the draft. You know what I mean? It showed. So, you know, you got to give him credit for that. I like this pick. Once again, I think anytime you draft somebody out of Iowa, I think they set it on the, you know, coverage and things like that. It's very few of those guys that go to the next level and fail. Mm-hmm. They just don't. Some reason, Iowa Facts. Offensive linemen, Facts. They just
and
pan
and
out.
And they're tight ends, too.
Yeah, they're tight ends too. They just pan out in the NFL. They just do well. So you know, it's a good position to have. It's a position to need. And that dude played really well at Iowa. You know what I mean? So we got a guy who had a lot of starts, has experience. I don't feel afraid of letting him go in there, and you know, if he strong arms the job out of Bradbury's hands, I don't feel afraid of what he might be able to do. You know what I mean? I think he's going to do well. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's a good pickup. Definitely a good pickup.
I think this pickup it was a quiet pick in a sense, but it was on point. It was on mm-hmm. point because, again, they didn't just draft the center. You know, they drafted someone to control their offense and protect mm-hmm. the franchise, which is Caleb Williams. You know, Caleb Williams. So, again, this is a classic Iowa interior lineman who's tough.
Yeah.
I believe he's smart. He's technically sound, and he's battle tested. So, somebody who ain't flashy but just flat out built for Sundays, all the mm-hmm. way around, all the way around. And again, like I said, they're protecting the investment in Caleb Williams. So everything starts inside from an offensive standpoint. You know, pressure up the middle is the worst nightmare any quarterback can have. Again, yep. You can escape an edge, right? You can you can elude an edge, you can escape an edge, you can get away from an edge, but interior pressure ruins a play before it even begins to start. And then,
and not
also,
only that, but yeah. but even if you know, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead, man.
Even when when you got an interior guy that can get a little bit of pressure up the middle, then you push and you force your quarterback into the arms of those defensive ends. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when we're able to solidify that front, that's why I was so happy to have who we had last year, who retired on us, of course. But I was so happy to have it because I told Will this, I told Roy this before. Like, I mean, the years of Sam Mustipher and James Daniels and Cody Whitehair was atrocious. You know what I'm saying? It was a bad look for everybody, right? So the years of those guys, it was just year after year after year of makeshift offensive lines that the Bears had. Now you have a guy who solidified it. He retired, and it's like, dang, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? Back to the old way. You know what I mean? Like, I can't deal with it again. Not for another 5-6 years.
Right.
But,
you know
what I mean? He's addressed it, man. So you got to give him credit for what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, you know, I believe they say he's been a 4-year starter at Iowa.
Yeah.
A 4-year starter.
That's the thing with this whole draft. We talking about it.
Yeah.
Same thing with Thieneman.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 4-year starter. So that is huge. And the fact that, again, he's comfortable with late blitz recognition, right? So you didn't just draft a O-lineman. You didn't just draft some center. You drafted a key pivotal point that's going to anchor your offensive line for another 15, 16 years. He's really paired with Caleb for the rest of his career. He's going to start, people. And I'm telling you right now, he's going to start out the gate. I will be shocked if week one, he's not named the starter.
I would be too. They gonna play the whole thing during training camp. Oh, yeah. Bradbury's with the ones.
Absolutely. You know, I would be shocked if he's not named the starter. So again, you drafted the quarterback of your offensive line who's going to call protections, he's going to identify blitzes, and he's going to adjust the line pre-snap. Now, he's been doing this for 4 years amongst, you know, some of the, I mean, shit, Iowa's O-line U, you know what I'm saying, and tight end U. So, again, he's thinking for the entire offense soon as he's pre-snap. You know, and he's helping our quarterback out pre-snap. So, again, and on top of that, with a guy like that, if you watched what he did, if you watched his highlight tape, he unlocks the run game. His inside zone, the duo, and on top of that, his power concepts. Man, from getting from the first level to the second level and then sealing that block off, he is going to be, again, something that is going to be highly, highly coveted in this Ben Johnson's offense. This is going to be something incredible, man. And it fits the 13 personnel vision. Plainly, flat out, it fits the 13 personnel vision with the heavy sets it requires, the physical interior alignment, the communication in tight formations, and most bodies in the box, which will equal tougher assignments on the offensive line and able for him to identify this pre-snap. And be able to call out, okay, you make sure you hit get him. Make sure you recognize who the mic is. Make sure you recognize the Will. Make sure you recognize the Sam. Hey, up top. He's blitzing right here. He's blitzing right here. Ringo. You know, man, this is going to be a chess match.
You know, the crazy thing about it, too, is that Caleb Williams, this is year three. This is second year. He's good at that, too.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
Then you got Joe Thuney, who's a Hall of Famer, and then you got Jonah Jackson, who's a Pro Bowler. Like, these guys, it's going to be off the charts, like,
yes.
Just recognition.
Yes.
You know, Thuney's going to be like, I see this. Jones is going to – Caleb's going to be like, okay, I see this. I'm going to manipulate the safety. I'm going to get his eyes over here. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Again,
it's going to be fun.
I want people to understand this for they're like, well, why did they go center? You know, because, again, you're still trying to correlate the fact that they went with this type of center – for 13 personnel. Let me break it down to you as plainly as I can break it down to you, folks. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot play bully ball without a center who can anchor the fucking middle. Plain and simple. You cannot play bully ball without a center who can anchor the middle of the offensive line. This is how you control games late in the fourth quarter when you want to run the football, you want to protect the lead, and you want to milk that clock. This is the guy that you're going to need. Again, they win games in the fourth quarter. It ain't all flashy. It's not all highlights. But again, I want you to think back during that Philadelphia Eagles game and how we controlled the tempo of the game. And the Eagles could never get off that snide that we had them on and how we just ran it down their throat at will. And they couldn't stop what we were doing. They knew it was coming, and they still couldn't stop it. And we were getting chunks. I'm talking about 7, 11, 13, another 6, another 8, and in the run game. And we was just methodically moving it down the field, chewing up that clock. I love this pick. This is probably the pick that I love the most in the draft. And that's the honest to God truth. This is probably one of the picks that I love the most, one of my most favorite picks in the draft. But in all honesty, we'll continue to go on about the players that we picked up later on down the line for this pod.
Right.
But I love the center pick.
I absolutely love this pick. Yeah,
I did too. Now we're going to get – I warmed up to it, but now we're going to get tricky. I love the first two picks. I know people said these aren't – what do you call it?
Sexy value picks.
Yeah, because safety in the center, so that those aren't like premium value. I'm telling you right now, before we go into it, these are premium positions for Ben Johnson. Listen to him talk. The people that give some problems on defense are interchangeable safeties. You talk about the Packers safeties, the Lions safeties, how they can drop, how they can cover, how they can disguise coverage. That matters to him. The center is important to Ben Johnson. That's why when he got here, he didn't play that, we're going to just throw a guy in there shit. He went out and signed Drew Dolman. Who did they have in Detroit? They had an all-pro center. He values centers. You might not value centers, but Ben Johnson does. It's vital to his. That's why he drafted Logan Jones. That's why they traded for Bradbury. Right, he has to have a center. That's his quarterback of the offensive line. You got a quarterback, got to have a center. So I want to say that this is when this part of the draft is when Bears fans got a little We traded down, right, out of that spot. Everybody thought, okay, there's a couple of defensive linemen. There was a couple that I liked. I liked Big Citrus, Dominique Owens. I thought you could maybe get a run stuffer in there. We traded down, and we drafted a tight end. I didn't really – like, when I think – I basically study what I think the Bears are going to draft. I wasn't studying tight ends. So when they picked this tight end, I didn't know who the hell he was. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, my brother says me, I was like, I don't know. I knew who Logan Jones was. I was like, I don't know who the hell this guy is. Let me go find a scouting report from the beast, Dan Bugler, and look up some YouTube highlights, because I had no idea. It didn't make sense, because I knew we had Colston Loveland, and right. I know we had Cole Kmet, and I knew we weren't gonna cut Cole Kmet. We just restructured his contract. He's a captain. So I was like, what the fuck are he? Then what Ned said, 13 personnel. The Bears ran it a lot with Darnell Smythe. And also, when you run a lot of 12 personnel, guess what? They get tired. You need a guy that's going to rotate, you know, with the 12 personnel, right? So, you know, maybe Colston Loveland needs a break. And you can put Cole Kmet at the U and let Rouse play the Y, and then vice versa. You keep Cole Kmet in, and then you play all three of them. And then Cole Kmet is Colston Loveland is essentially a wide receiver that can block.
Right.
That's how you got to think about this offense.
Yeah,
he's a weapon.
I like to say he's one of those tight ends that masquerade as a a wide receiver that, you know, he's masquerading. Yeah. You know,
he can block end. Though. I'll give him that. He's a decent blocker, but he's a receiving threat. He runs routes and catches passes like a wide receiver. That's why I like him coming out. So it made more sense to me, and it also said something to me. Right. At first, I was confused. Thank God I wasn't on Twitter, because I'd have had some hot takes. But
I had one.
I was like, because I would have been like, who the fuck is that?
Facts.
But I'm going to get into this. What it told me is that the Chicago Bears are not the 1985 Bears and the 2005 Bears. We are an offensive team. We have an offensive head coach who call shots, and he's going to get what he's going to get. And Bears fans need to come to the realization the Bears aren't trying to have the number one defense. They want to have the number one offense with a mediocre defense. Before, we used to have the number one defense with a mediocre offense. It's flipped. And so when they made this pick in the next pick, I was like, yeah, Ben Johnson was to score 30 points a game. That's it. He's cool with the defense giving up 24 points, but he's going to score 30.
Yep.
That's what it told me. Yeah. The dude's a good player. He's athletic. Not the greatest catcher, but he can catch. He's athletic. He can move. He's a hell of a blocker. Real smart. Went to Stanford. So,
big boy.
You know, our tight end is a massive. So that's my thoughts on that pick. How do y'all feel about the pick? Y'all initial reactions?
Man, my initial reaction was why did we just do that? You know what I'm saying? That was my. I knew who the guy was, right?
What you say, Will?
Who the fuck was that? I didn't know who he was, bro. I was like, who?
Yeah. It's like, what in the world is that? Like why? I was just thinking about, and I tweeted at the time. I said, hey, good player, but we don't need a tight end, not at this point in the draft. Like, why did we draft him at this point in the draft? So I was a little bit, you know, disturbed by that, and I wasn't feeling it at the time. I knew who he was, and I knew he was a good player. He's a big guy, and he there's a lot that he can do on the football field that you are going to like as a Bears fan, right?
Yeah.
And Bears fans are going to like him. He fits, like, the mold, you know what I say, right? But I was just thinking, man, we got other needs that are more, you know. And I'm thinking, you got two tight ends, you draft another one, and what, you know, you move down number one from 60 in the second round down to the third round, 67 spot, and you draft this guy, basically a third round draft pick. And then it didn't make it any better that the 60th pick was a guy that I coveted highly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my man Hill Jr. out of Texas. So I'm sitting there looking, I'm like, man, we could have had a linebacker right there. And I felt like, yeah, do we need a linebacker? No, we did make some moves to get linebackers, and we got Devin Bush and we got TJ Edwards. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, but this dude, Anthony Hill Jr., is a tough player. Like, he can play. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, he's a really good player. So I'm sitting there like, man, we could have had him. And we went for a tight end who's going to be our third tight end. Like, what? For what? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was thinking the same.
Why? And I'm even thinking, like, even if Anthony Hill, you know what I mean, if you feel like maybe he's not a starter right away, which I think he's going to be a starter, but if you didn't, I think he starts halfway through the season if he doesn't start off the bat, right, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I think he's a second-round draft pick. He's a tough linebacker. And I'm thinking to myself, like, you could have had a guy that would make more of an impact than your third tight end, you know what I mean? So I wasn't really happy about it. I don't know if I'm ecstatic about it at this point either. Still, you know what I mean?
I'm still not
but
ecstatic.
But I understand but I accept it. It. Yeah, I understand it. Yeah, I understand it. I accept it. I understand it. And I think it was a good pick, especially with what the Bears want to do, what they want to run. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, Ben Johnson's going to have his way when it comes to some of these picks. Mm-hmm. We got to understand that. And this is what people wanted. So when people are now complaining about the defensive line so much, it's like, nah, y'all wanted offense. Y'all wanted the points on the board. Y'all wanted people to run up and down the field. Y'all wanted all these weapons. Y'all wanted this. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's complaining about it. Now, me, on the other hand, I'm a defensive guy, so I've always been about the defense, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not being hypocritical. You know what I'm saying when I'm saying this stuff? But, you know, hey, it is what it is, man. I think it's a decent pick because he will bring some added value to the tight end room and to the table. He's going to play a major role.
He's going to play.
You know, he's definitely going to play. Like Durham Smythe, he played. You know what I mean? So this guy is going to play. And at the end of the day, when Cole Kmet makes his exit, because I doubt he gets another contract after this, because, you know, let's just be real. Money is going to be limited at that point in time, right?
So it'll be 30.
Now it's going to be a situation where you can naturally just kind of put this guy into that role of what Cole Kmet was doing. So I think it's a good pickup. I do.
Okay. I believe it's a good pickup. And the reason why I say at first I was like, you know, like, why? You know what I'm saying? I was one of those. I was like, well, what the hell is going on with this?
Everybody was like, why?
You know, there was no need for this, right? But then again, I had to look at it. What is Ben Johnson trying to do? And he's trying to run 13 personnel. And with him running 13 personnel, you know, the real answer is simple. Versatility wins in today's NFL. Look at the Los Angeles Rams, who are the kings of 13 personnel. So, again, you know, when you draft Roush, he brings, you know, what he brings to the table. He's an all-around tight end, you know what I'm saying, a true inline blocker. He's a pass catcher as well. And then also he can motion across the formation, comes from a system of Stanford that asks tight ends to do everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
just like Iowa. So he's exactly. So he's not a specialist, but I would say more so a problem solver when you're dealing with blitz packages and everything else. But the reason why this pick matters, not only just the 13 personnel, but now you could pair him with other tight ends. You can run heavy sets. You can shift into spreads without subbing. And then on top of that, you know, when you're running the same personnel from completely different looks, that's how you stress a defense. Completely stress a defense. It keeps defenses guessing pre-snap because they don't know what's coming. And then on top of that, he can line up tight, he can flex out wide, and he can motion into the backfield. So again, with him being out there on the field, run, and with the Bears running that 13 personnel, defenses can't declare what they're in because they don't know what they're in. Mm-hmm. Clearly. You know what I'm saying? Because again, you're still disguising your plays. So it helps stabilize the offense for Caleb Williams. It gives reliable checkdowns, short yardage options, and red zone targets. And then, of course, with Caleb, again, we got rid of DJ Moore. What is Caleb going to need? That safety blanket, right? He's going to need outlets. He's going to need a security blanket. DJ Moore was his security blanket. We traded away DJ Moore, so now we have to create another security blanket, right? Roush can be that security blanket. So, again, we're talking about controlling tempo on the offense. I think more of it want to slow the game down, again, more heavy sets. And if they want to speed the game up, you know, it's the same players, but we can just spread them out wide, plain and simple. You know, so they can dictate the pace from what personnel that they continue to keep on the field. Again, he fits the physical identity shift. Again, Bears is going to be a team that's going to come to your town, bust you in the mouth, and keep going. And keep going. And they're going to keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it, and keep doing it until you can stop it. And if you can't stop it, it's going to be a long night. It's definitely going to be a long night. So, again, this ties into the Logan Jones pick, which was the center that we picked up from Iowa. We are going to be a tough, hard-nosed, smash-mouth football team. We're going to be a physical team. Remember when, after actually we had that 49ers game, the 49ers was never the same. Never the same, because it was such a dogfight against us in that Monday Night Football game. That game was an ultimate dogfight. So, again, it's never the same. You know, a team, after they play the Bears, even though that the 49ers got the victory, they lost the battle. Because, again, how many players, you know, how many players were injured the following week? How many players were not available to go the following week? And then on top of that, they got bounced. You know what I'm saying? They got bounced. They was carrying injuries going into the playoffs from that game. So, again, you know, and they got bounced. So, it is what it is, you know. But it's a scheme fit for what they're trying to do, again, with the 13 personnel. It makes the entire offense more flexible, and it helps both the run and the pass game. So, again, I look at Roush as a glue guy, not a star. We already got our star at tight end. Our star is Colston Loveland, flat out. Roush is the glue. He gonna keep shit tight. He gonna keep things where it is, and the whole nine. So again, if you look at how offenses use motion with tight ends, it forces defenses to actually tip their coverage and show their hand before they actually get an opportunity to drop back into their sets. And you know what I'm saying, being able to use or try to disguise that defensive coverage, they're not able to do that no more. They won't be able to do that no more, especially against us. And again, that's exactly what our defensive coordinator is trying to combat when he grabbed Kobe Bryant and he grabbed Dylan Thinneman. It's because he doesn't want to tip the coverage. Again, like Will said before, when we had
Smite.
Yeah, no. When we had Brisker and we had we had Byard back there, we was tipping our hand pre-snap. So it was easy for quarterbacks to go where they wanted to go, and that's how we was getting ate up in the passing game, giving up chunk yardage, because they knew where, you know, who was the high, who was the low, who was, you know, in coverage, who was in run support, and they could audible out of that, or they could fix their offense off of our defensive scheme. Now, again, with us offensively, we're going to force defenses to do the same thing, and we're going to fix our offensive philosophy off other teams' defensive schemes. So it's definitely going to be dope, man. I didn't care for the pick until I understood the pick. And again, everything was done with intention in this draft. So again, you know, 13 personnel is key. 13 personnel is going to be key this year, and it's going to be big. And when I say big, it's going to be big. It's going to open up a lot in the passing game. It's going to open up a lot in the run game, especially with Manungai and Swift. Man, hey, it's going to be fun. It's definitely going to be fun. So, again, I really didn't care for the pick, but now that I, you know, again, like I said, I did my homework on it. I looked at it. That's going to be all right. That's going to be all right because, again, you know, we keep three tight ends out there. One, you know what I'm saying? Three tight ends, one back, one receiver. And imagine, you know, you got, let's say, Luther Burton out there split out wide. Now you got three tights. You know what I'm saying? Guess what? What you going to do with that? What you going to do with that? Because, again, if you try to cheat the formation and you try to say, okay, well, they're going to pass in this. Well, guess what? We're going to hand it off and we're going to gain about 10 to 15 every time. With that big nasty bastard we got in the middle that we just drafted from Iowa anchoring that offensive line, it's gonna get ugly.
And well, that run to the right is almost unstoppable. You put like Roush or Cole Kmet on that
exactly.
right next to the Darnell Wright,
exactly.
Jonah Jackson, man. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what killed the Eagles. They couldn't stop it.
Exactly.
And you know something else too. Logan Jones, that's a great pickup, right? And it just I just thought about this real quickly, but you know, the same thing that I was saying about Bradberry. Okay, Bradberry, he's not the greatest, but he'll be fine sandwiched between Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson, right? I'm thinking to myself, that's how I'm preparing my mind to say, okay, maybe he'll be better than even he was in New England. You know what I mean? These guys can make him better. They can make him better. You look at the same thing with Logan Jones. You sandwich him between Tooney, Jonah Jackson. These are veteran players that know how to play the game of football. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're going to rub off. They're going to help him. They're going to help him at that center position. But go ahead, Nez. I didn't mean to. That's the second time I did that to you.
No, you good. You good, brother. You good, man. Go ahead. Hey, chime in. Chime in. But, yeah, that was all I had, you know, as far as that Sam Roush pick. Just how it's going to help the 13 personnel. I really didn't care for the pick initially, and then I did my homework and seen, okay, everything that was done in this draft was done with intention. It was done with a purpose, and it was done with a vision. So I would like to see how this plays out. But, yeah, Sam Roush, again, it's going to be a nice pick. It's a nice pickup.
Yeah, Ben going to use him. I think that's kind of what I was saying, too, is, like, we got an offensive head coach. He's innovative, so he's not – we're thinking like a traditional Bears fan, right? And I call myself – I thought that pick should have been a defensive player. I'm thinking D-line. I'm thinking, you know, traditional Bears. And that's not how Ben is thinking. And it solidified with his next pick. I'm thinking, like, okay, this is definitely going to be a defensive player. Xavion, was it Thompson? I can't remember.
Xavion
Jones, yep.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, LSU wide receiver, can't go wrong there. The boys are burning.
Oh, excuse me, Xavion Thomas.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot his name. Runs a 4.28.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, when Ben Johnson picks offensive players, as a Bear fan, y'all should learn to do this. Trust him.
Trust him.
He drafted Kyle Manunga in the 7th round, and y'all like, we didn't spend him. He's one of the best running backs in the NFL. We drafted Ozzie Trier. He's a right tackle. They made him a left tackle. Like, Coastal Loveland, who is that? I don't know who he is. He's probably going to be one of the best tight ends, top three tight ends. Let Ben Johnson cook when it comes to that. So I'm like, okay. I knew we needed wide receiver depth, right, because we let DJ Moore go. I ain't saying this guy's a DJ Moore replacement. We signed Khalif Raymond.
Right.
He's a role player.
Right.
Okay. I like Jahdae Walker, but we had literally like four guys that would probably make the 53. We needed another guy, right? So we get this guy, and you already know that Ben Johnson going to utilize his speed. And I want to say this, too. I saw some people saying he's Velus Jones. No, he's not. He's not Velus Jones. He's not. He's not a 25-year-old rookie. The guy actually can catch the football. Velus Jones couldn't catch. That's always been Velus Jones' issue. I think he's a versatile guy. He's fast. He's not going to be a superstar. I'm not going to sit here and sell you guys. He's going to be another role player. He's a chess piece in Ben Johnson's offense. And he can return kicks, which we dearly need because Devin Duvernay, may he rest his soul in wherever he's at playing at. I'm glad he's on. This guy's way more explosive as a kick returner. That's a weapon in today's NFL. So that's valuable. And he adds in that other element. Our wide receivers are fast, but we don't have anyone that is a – just can 88 out the gate. You know, he's that guy. You see him catch a – he'll catch a short pass and he'll take it to the house. And so I see the vision. I understand what they were doing. As a Bear fan, I knew we were going to draft a wide receiver – at that point, I still wanted a defender. I will admit that. But I knew they were going to draft a wide receiver. I think the kid is going to be a chess piece going forward. He may not take that role now, but I think eventually he's going to probably take Khalif Raymond's role as a wide receiver 3. Because I think Khalif Raymond is going to play a decent amount of football. He knows Ben Johnson's system. He loves him. He plays that. That kind of, the motion guy, you know, doing all the trickery. I think that's what Xavion is going to be. I think it's a decent pick. Like I said, not a superstar. I prefer the defender, but we got an offensive head coach. The guy wants weapons. He wants players all over the field. And I think being able to go light with the wide receivers, going heavy with the tight ends, having multiple running backs, a devastating offensive line, a quarterback that can make any throw. He can make throws that we didn't even know you can make. He saw last year. He's virtually unsackable, even with the great offense. If you make it past the offensive line, if the wide receivers ain't open, he'll still make you miss. He'll still make a play. I think this offense, man, this offense, based on these picks, to me, this may be a top three offense. And they not going to be three.
Legit.
So that's what this pick told me, is that Ben Johnson is out for blood. Because I thought they were going to go defense. So how y'all feeling about Mr. Xavion?
Xavion Thomas is a really good player. Here's the other thing, too, that I'm going to throw out there. I'm not sure if, you know, people have done their due diligence when it comes to looking at some of these draft prospects.
Probably not, most likely.
But one of the things that stands out with him that a lot of scouts have pointed to is that maybe he doesn't just stick at wide receiver, but he has the vision, the speed, the quickness to play a little bit of running back too. So once again, to your point, Roy, this is Ben Johnson saying, you know what? I can utilize this skill set in so many different ways, ways that y'all don't even know yet, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show y'all what we can do. I like that about Ben Johnson, right? And I trust it because I've seen him do it now, not only in Detroit, but here in Chicago as well. So I trust that he'll be able to do that. And I'm not saying that he's going to be a running back. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but he'll be able to throw him in the backfield and do some things. He'll be able to throw some screen passes to him. He'll be able to – the dude's 5'10", 190, and flies. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? He's going to be one of those types of guys who is a gadget almost type guy. You know, think of like – and I hate doing comparisons, but we know how dynamic Tariq Cohen was when he was here, right? Mm-hmm. He could catch the ball out the backfield. He could line up at wide receiver if you needed him to. He was like a little switch army knife out there, right? Mm-hmm. That's similar to what this guy can do because if you go look at the scouting report on him, they talk about his vision so highly. He can get between tackles. He can do this. He can see the holes. He can cut here, blah, blah, blah. He's really good vision-wise. Probably better. They have him ranked higher in that category than they do his hands, right? I'm not saying he can't catch because he can catch the ball way better than Velus Jones, so please stop throwing that comparison out there.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what I'm looking at. So it's a guy that you could use in the pass game, possibly in the run game, in the return game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy that you can use, and he's a multifaceted guy. So Ben Johnson is going to use and get whatever he can out of this kid. And, you know, like I said, I'm happy with it. Whenever you add speed, 4.28, 4.26?
Yeah, 4.28.
Whenever he plays like that.
Yeah,
When you add speed like that, I'm all for it, man. There's potential there. You know what I'm saying? So we got to see how it shakes out. And once again, it just showed me that Ben Johnson, hey, he you know, that Denzel quote, I'm coming away with something, I'm taking something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ben Johnson going into every draft, he's saying, I'm getting something, I'm walking away from here with something.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You got to give me something. I don't care what I don't care how many defensive players you need, I'm walking away with something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He ain't giving
shit. Exactly.
He's like, you don't make it worth what you got. You know,
yeah. That's a fact. That's a fact.
I'm for it.
So when they picked up Xavion Thomas, you know, and I looked at it and I'm like, okay, well, where are we going to go with this? You know, and it's like, okay. Because again, if you notice during the preseason, during the offseason, a lot of people were pairing Tyreek Hill to the Chicago Bears and saying Tyreek Hill is the favorite to land with the Chicago Bears. Okay. Right. Well, again, don't. I know there's going to be some retards out there. Oh, there's the saying that Xavion is going to be the next Tyreek Hill. No, I did not say that, okay? But what I'm saying is that the pairing was to be with the Chicago Bears. Well, it must have been some truth to that because, again, they went and got a Tyreek Hill-like player with freakish speed. Right, elite speed.
Tariq Hill-esque.
Yes. Right.
That doesn't mean he's going to be the next Tariq Hill.
Exactly. Right. So they didn't draft him to be wide receiver one, but they did draft him to make defenses uncomfortable every single snap.
Absolutely.
So he brings. What does he bring to the table? He brings elite speed, explosive in space. He's a yards after the catch type player, right? So he racks up a ton of yak, and he has return game upside. So, again, he's not just a fast, quick twitch player, but he's also a sudden player, too, that can make something happen. You know, he can make something out of nothing and can make something happen immediately. So, again, this is about horizontal and vertical stress in the offense. And what Ben Johnson wants to do and what he wants to accomplish. Again, the vertical is to take the top off of the defense, and then the horizontal will be the jet sweeps and the screens and the offense. So, again, you're forcing defenses to defend the entire field, sideline to sideline, and end zone to end zone.
It's the hardest thing to do, bro.
It's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do. And he complements that wide receiver room perfectly. You look at it, you have Jahdae Walker. You have
6'3".
You have Luther Burden.
6'1".
And then on top of that, you have Rome Odunze.
6'3".
You see what I'm saying?
So you need some of these guys.
You need a player that's a quick twitch guy. You know, and his speed is something that you can't coach. You can't coach speed. You can't. There's really no defense for speed.
Speed kills, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does.
There's
it does.
No defense for speed. And on top of that, you know, again, like we said before, this is a scheme weapon that you can actually use out of the 13 personnel, from jet motion to bubble screens to quick hitters to deep shots off into play action. Again, it's creating stress on the defense. Perfect for Caleb Williams as well, with the easy throws, the screens, the motion passes, you know, turn short plays into big gains. He's going to be that type of player to do that, right? Mm-hmm. You're giving a quarterback a layup in a quick screen that can turn into a 50-yard banger. You know,
I seen him do that. I forgot who he played, but it was a broken play. I think Musburg or whatever. He threw it. It was just like a little scramble drill. He caught it. He cut up field. And I'm going to say this too, not to cut you off, but he caught it, cut back at the sideline. And it looked like people were in quicksand.
That was against Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah.
Yeah.
The difference between him and Velus, because people keep saying Velus. Velus was a straight line speed guy. Velus ran very fast in the straight. Remember Velus? He never had any cuts. Even when they put him at running back, he'd get that ball, he'd run as fast as he can, and get his ass tackled.
Right.
This dude, when we say fast, he's fast, but he can also cut. He has jukeability. I would say the jukeability. Quick twist. Now you go ahead and finish.
Good. Absolutely. So, again, this pairs perfectly with 13 personnel philosophy, right? Given the fact that you can go in heavy set where they load the box, and then you send Thomas across in the formation and motion, and now the defense is stretched completely, right? Stressed out, and then you go heavy, you inject speed. It's deadly, man. You can go heavy.
Just put him in the backfield.
Exactly.
He's a running back.
Exactly.
He's a running back in the 13 personnel, then split him out wide.
Exactly. They go heavy. If you go heavy at that point, right? The opposite team, the opponent's bringing in linebackers. They're bringing in bigger guys to try to match up with. You got 3 6-foot-6 tight ends running onto the field. We got to get big safeties and big linebackers. Now you throw this dude in there and that speed injected into that big set, and it's you know what I mean. Like once again, like Nez said, you're forced to cover all areas of the football field, which is the hardest thing to do. We can take away this and that in the third, but can we cover everywhere? No, it's impossible.
Absolutely. And again, speed changes the math on the field, folks.
Yeah.
Always. You think you got the equation? Speed has the answer. Again, speed changes the math on the field.
You got to account for it.
Absolutely. Xavier Thomas is a stress test for defenses. Bottom line.
Right.
That's what it is. You don't need volume. You need what? Impact. You need impactful players. Xavier Thomas is an impact player. One touch from him can flip a game completely, and that's his value in this offense. That is a high-value type player. Again, who is this type of player for Ben Johnson in Detroit?
Jameson Williams.
Damn right. Jameson Williams or Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs, yeah.
He had those two type players. Again, not saying, again, dumbasses, I'm not saying
that he's going to be
that he's going to be neither one of these players.
Okay. Sir, it's Jahmyr Gibbs. Crack another old style.
Right. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
You know
exactly. He's not even a running back.
Exactly. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be these type of players, but his type of speed can change the game. The way
here
these players change
is on his soapbox again.
Exactly.
First, Will said Velus Jones was
exactly
the Kool-Aid guy.
Exactly.
The Debo.
Exactly. But you know what? You know what? You mentioned it. You know what I mean? You mentioned somebody like Jameson Williams. If you look at Jameson Williams, and I pay attention to some Detroit games and things like that, but look at his catches. He's coming across the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And with the speed that he's coming across the middle with on them slants,
it
and
stretches,
them drags,
it stresses the defense.
Bro, you can, you know, if you clear that out and you drag them linebackers out of there, That dude has free run, and he's running. After he catches the ball, it's 15, 20 yards again until somebody, you know, until those guys get to him on the back end. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're looking at with when you have a guy like Thomas coming into the fold. You can throw him in that slot, or you can throw him on the outside and make him run a drag route. Drag route 5 yards, 4 yards, drag all the way across the field. Who's keeping up with 4.8 speed running sideways?
That's fact.
It ain't happening, bro.
That's
it's not happening.
That's facts.
So he's going to be able to catch the ball, and he's going to be able to run if you get guys to clear out the way and they get
out. No, he's just going to open it up for guys. Like, how the hell – definitely say, how do you defend that? You already got Rome. You got Victor. You got Colston. Now this guy screaming across the field. Yeah, man. It's – it can – it's going to get scary.
Oh, it's going to get real scary. So, I mean, that's our first three rounds there, right? We had Dylan Thinneman, Logan Jones, Sam Roush, and Xavion Thomas. And now we got rounds – 4, 5, and 6. Should we save that for next week? I mean,
deal, man.
You know, should we save for next week? And then, you know what I'm saying, go off on that next week. And then, you know, because, again, we ain't really got much to talk about. Yeah. So, you know.
You can.
We got the first hour banged out.
Yeah, because you want to, you know, that's a lot of information. And then it's like the Bears finally decided to make Dennis Allen happy on the second half of the draft.
Absolutely, man.
Ben Johnson said, I'm walking away with something.
Oh, absolutely.
Dennis was like, absolutely. Benjamin, I need some help, though.
Absolutely. Like, come on, man. You're killing me.
Come on, man. You gave me Dilly. He said, you got the first round draft pick. I'm taking the rest.
Facts.
I got you Facts. On safety, dog.
Facts.
They spend all the money on defense and free agency. So they like, I gave you free agency money and I gave you, you know. Yeah. I will say this. We can talk about a little before we wrap it up. Defensive line. Like, I will touch on this. I was looking at the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the defensive tackle, they got a lot of guys in there. I like Javon Dexter. He's back. We're going to see if they extend him. If he you know, we can see if he can continue to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Grady Jarrett ain't going nowhere, man. He signed this contract. They got to at least keep him another year. His knee was banged up. He going to be back. I like Neville Gallimore as a rotational guy. I'm not going to get into the rookie. And, you know, we got Kentavious Street. So we got bodies there.
Grady just turned 33 the other day, too.
Yeah. So, you know, they going to rotate him out. As far as the edge, I like – everybody know I'm a Booker fan. I think – I already said this earlier. Sweat's solid. I see the issue with the edge because mainly Dio's coming off an Achilles. You can't get rid of Dio. I know people a motivated Dio. Everybody on Dio. I ain't a Dio fan. I ain't gonna lie. He's just a guy to
me. Bro, Roy, tell him what you told me because I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
And when Roy told me this earlier today, my heart dropped.
Yeah, this is Dio's second Achilles. And this is my issue. My issue isn't with the starters on the edge. It's with the depth. So I go to Google Dio Odingbo Achilles injury, trying to see what's his time frame. Is he like? I found out this guy tore his ACL in the pre-draft process when he came out of the draft, and he didn't go. He was out 10 months, and I was like, shit. So you might be out 10 months this time. So I was like, this is the second time he tore his Achilles. So
second,
you're depth second, you know. So yeah, you back
that's
up.
Not good.
Ouch.
DNs are a guy that tore his ACL. Shamar Turner, who pretty much come back. He's a young guy, tore his ACL.
Right.
He did in October. He should be fine. But your other guys, Dio Odingbo, was coming off his second Achilles injury. So although I like the starters, you need some depth, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe Dio's back, maybe he's not. But, I mean, damn, bro, you want to depend on the guy that coming off two ACLs, that your deep, your edge three. I think the Bears will address it. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. This guy's on the market. This guy's on the trade market. But I feel that. The Bears need another edge. I'm with the fans on that, but you don't necessarily need a starter because I think Booker got that. But yeah, man. So that's my only disappointment that they didn't get an edge, at least some depth.
Yeah.
To Achilles, bro.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Yeah.
280.
That's major, man. That's major. Two Achilles injury is hard to come back anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But to come back twice?
Yeah, we got to do something.
It's going to be rough, man. Hopefully he can. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that he can't, but, man, that's going to be a tough thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same one. It's different. I have to do some more research, but I don't know. It ain't good either way. If it's the same one, that's damn, bro. They, and if it's another one,
same
one
is bad. But if it's the opposite, that's bad too.
Now you got two bad Achilles. Right.
both Achilles.
I'm glad he got paid, you know, because fuck, he might be around for real.
I might almost want it to be the same one. You know what I mean? Maybe you can blame it on the doctor and say, hey, you didn't know what he was doing. You know what I mean?
Jesus, man. It's all
good. Bro, two Achilles, bro. So that ain't good. And he's 280, bro. He ain't a little guy.
You know? That's a big boy.
Big boy.
You know, but we'll definitely follow up next week with the D-line. And then, of course, you know, we'll break down the depth that the Bears have from position to position to position to give y'all a little content, you know, to keep this going, you know, going right on into preseason and everything else. I do believe that we are going to add some form of defensive tackle, whether it be a veteran. I'm sure it's going to be a veteran. It can't be nothing else. But whether it be a veteran or, you know, undrafted free agent signing, whatever, whatnot. We're going to actually
trade.
I'm pretty sure a lot of that is going to be going on pretty soon. You know, again, the Bears freed up $10 million in cap space, and they freed up that $10 million in cap space for a reason. So,
don't get scared, Bears fans. Don't get this scared and, we got to have it now. We're about to train again. Training camps are going to happen. Guys are going to get cut. These teams are going to be cut down from 100-plus players down to 53, 57, whatever it's going to be. So realize that there are going to be guys that are available. There are going to be people that they try to stash on practice squads that you can go snatch off of their practice squad. There's going to be a lot of different options that the Bears may have. And it may be some names that you don't know that all of a sudden do well because they put in the preparation and they are hungry, right? And they want to make a name for themselves. Mm-hmm. So sometimes maybe they don't fit on this team who runs a 3-4. All of a sudden they fit in Dylan Allen's system, though. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So those are the types of things that we're going to come across in the coming weeks. So just take a look at it.
I'll say this too. I know guys like keep throwing the name Cam Jordan out there. He played well for – but this is the thing with these veterans. They ain't in a rush to sign for no one. No. Just because you got anxiety and you want us to have an edge right now, he don't give a shit. He's a veteran. He's been in the NFL 12 years, bro. He is not going to OTAs. He's not going to minicamp. He's going to sign with you, during the preseason.
I'll be there August 27th. I'll see you there.
So they might already have a deal with him in place. Maybe, you know, he knows Dennis Allen. He's like, yeah, I'm going to sign with you, but I ain't going to training camp. Mm-hmm. And that's why they ain't addressing it. They know he coming. So it's all kind of stuff like that goes on, man, that you don't know, that we don't know. But those guys don't like to go to training camp. Clowney don't.
No.
Clowney ain't going to – Bosa ain't going to training camp.
No. None of them guys going to training camp. They put in work already.
Yep. They like, call me. I'm a pass rusher for hire, you know. I'm a higher
guy. Those are the type of guys like a Cam Jordan. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to bat an eye at that. Like,
no.
We know you're going to come ready. You know what I'm saying? We, this is not a situation where it's Jamarcus Russell that you got to wonder if, you know, hey, is he going to come in shape? No, that's not the case. Cam Jordan is going to be ready to play football.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir. So I just want to tell people that. Just be a little patient and understand that we ain't playing a game tomorrow. We got plenty of time. We need a depth guy. We're not looking for an Austin Booker. We have him on the roster. We just need somebody that's going to rotate.
You got another Denzel quote coming. This ain't checkers. It's chess. Ben Johnson and Ryan Pauls, they playing chess. We ain't playing checkers. Chess.
They know they need an edge. They know but they ain't thirsty. You know, they ain't thirsty.
Get used to it, man. Get used to it, fans. Get used to it. You know what I mean? We in a different era of Bears football now. You know what I mean?
Sir.
In a different era.
That's what it be.
Yes, sir.
So, again, like I said, we'll come back next week with more Heat Rock. And that's it for me this week.
Yeah, same, bro.
So, y'all take it easy, man.
Watch some damn. Thank y'all for tuning in. But go Google these guys. Go watch as many of you. When you're bored, watch some videos. That kind of ease your. Go
even look just up some. Talk. Don't talk for the sake of talk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ease some of your damn stress, man. You motherfuckers is too pent up. Relax. Get that out.
They don't even know half the players. And if I don't know who a player is,
go buy some ass or something.
Up.
Go Go do
yeah,
something.
That's what it is.
You're just too pent up. Too much frustration.
Yeah, go meet you a nice young lady or young man or something. You know?
Yeah, man. Something.
Go on the yeah. Hey, I've been on Twitter. I've been for personal reasons, but I've been happy. I was like, man, I'm glad I ain't on Twitter doing the draft.
Leave some of that pressure.
Meltdowns and everything else.
I'm glad I took this couple weeks off, bro.
That's a fact, bro. That's a fact.
I almost hopped back on, bro, and I was like, nah, I'm good. I mean, I already know shit going down, dude.
Right. But that's a fact.
All right, man.
All right, y'all. Peace out.
That's all I got.
Y'all take it easy.
Peace.